Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We're coming to you live from Oklahoma City. We're here during a town hall meeting. We're going to be in Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm going to be in Fairview Baptist Church tonight, 6:30. So I sure hope you'll be there if you live anywhere near Edmond, Oklahoma. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is show up. It doesn't cost anything. You can listen. If you're coming right out of the fields or you're coming right from the office, whatever, laid back, doesn't cost anything. You can bring a busload of people, your small group, whatever you want. Come on out. We're going to have a great time. So I hope you'll be there. Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma. Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. I sure hope you'll be there. We're going to get there a little early. We start promptly at 6:30. We'll get there a little early to meet as many people as we possibly can. So I hope you'll be there. Dow's down, was down about 1%. It's off of the lows of the session right now. No real rhyme or reason, a little bit of profit taking. We'll see what happens. Nothing really matters but the end of the day, and we'll see where it happens. We've had a negative. We had a little bit of a losing streak here going for the last few days. We'll see if today can be broken or not. We won't know that until the last half hour of the trading day, but we're watching it very closely. It looks like the European markets are doing nothing. In reference to the stimulus program that Mario Draghi at the ECB says he's going to put into place. It's comical. I talked about the first segment. I won't belabor it, but there is no stimulus that they can do. There's only one stimulus that they can do. Let's get a trade deal going and done with the Eurozone. That's number one, so that we can take care of auto tariffs and auto trades, lightweight metals, steel, and other things that we can work out that are going to be good for everybody. It's going to be good for the Eurozone. It's going to be good for us. Eurozone, in my opinion, is on the verge of recession. They're there. They're right. I mean, they're not on the doorstep. They're on the threshold of the door. They're almost in it. They're very close, being led by the largest economy in the Eurozone, which is Germany. And so you got Germany struggling, you got Italy struggling, you got France struggling, you got the financial sector in a lot bigger trouble than anybody realizes or knows. Well, no, some people know. They're just in denial. But there's a lot of issues going on in the Eurozone. Can they come out of it? They certainly can. Will they? I sure hope so. So we'll see. The IMF chief economist says China is constrained by the U.S. Well, yeah, it is. Did we do that or did China do that? They're going to say we did it. We're going to say they did it. I believe they did it. They could have had this resolved a long time ago by never going there. It is a challenge. It is somewhat of a disruption. There's no doubt about it. U.S. domestic manufacturing, will be hurt and has been hurt in this first quarter of the year. So yeah, but more importantly, the manufacturing, the factory orders and exports have been hurt in China dramatically. They are dealing with knocking on the door of major social unrest. They've got to be concerned about that, as they should be. So lots of problems and lots of issues there, more so in China. Listen, we are dependent on consumers. And right now our consumer sentiment looks very, very good still. It's amazing. Now, is it starting to drift away a little bit? I think it is. I know business sentiment certainly is drifting away, and that is a concern. So when you look at a survey, Wall Street Journal did a survey yesterday, or published it yesterday afternoon or this morning. I think it was in this morning's Wall Street Journal, talking about a report based on optimism. Talked to CFOs of major corporations. 50% of CFOs and major corporations are reporting a fairly optimistic outlook on the economy. Here's the problem. It's 50%, that's pretty good, but it's down from 79% a year ago. That is a pretty big swing. 33% say that they plan on expanding and creating more jobs and so on and so forth of their organization. 33%. Unfortunately, that's down from 72% a year ago. That is a dramatic change. And growth, earnings growth, they're saying now they revised their earnings growth to 3.6%. By the way, 3.6% is pretty good. I don't have a problem with 3.6%. What I have a problem with is that a year ago it was 4.4%. You know, do you see the trend? And we've got to be looking at trends. Trends are very important as we look forward. I mentioned on a conference call this morning with our partners. No, you didn't miss it. We didn't really have a conference call this morning, but I pretended like we did, and I recorded some things that is on the conference call page of the website right now. I did it very early this morning, and you can hear that. This morning I was going through some things, and I wanted to share with you, because I said I would at the last conference call that I would keep you updated on economic data as I see it. And as I become more and more concerned about it, or more and more optimistic about it, whatever it might be. So I thought it was a time. I didn't, because I'm traveling, I couldn't put together a longer, larger, bigger conference call. So I did it this morning. You'll notice I'm speaking very quietly because I'm in a hotel room, and it was very early in the morning. And I knew one thing for certain. Yvonne didn't really want to hear what I had to say about the economic data, and she was asleep. So that's why I'm speaking so softly. But it is something that I want you to listen to, and you're going to get an alert about it. I think Pat sent an alert out already, but she did text me this morning, Pat did, and tell me that it was on the website under Partners Conference Call. Listen, it's so critical that you guys are partners, and this is one of the reasons why. And we're doing the best we can here with what we have available to keep you informed. If you're not a partner, with all this volatility and what's going on, there's never been a better time. I hope you'll pray about it and consider partnering with the ministry for your own sake. Here comes Craig Hauger with our Ag Report. We appreciate Craig. Lots going on with ag commodities. This is that season where we start getting cranked up. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Hauger with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn prices dipped lower yesterday on technical selling and lack of fresh supportive news. Prices were also pressured by favorable weather conditions in South America, as well as weekly ethanol grind numbers, which showed a week-over-week production decrease of 4,000 barrels per day. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny lower. The soybean market was lower over uncertainty about the U.S.-Chinese trade war situation. No solution to that situation seems to equal no rally. It feels like the market has simply run out of gas. There was talk back on February 22nd that China would be looking to purchase another 10 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans, but there's no indication of them being in the marketplace for those beans or for anything else for that matter. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading unchanged. The wheat market dove lower yesterday on poor demand and ample supplies. Heading into Friday's USDA report, the average trade estimate for U.S. ending stocks is expected to be slightly higher than last month, with world stocks slightly lower. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a half cent lower, while Kansas City is down a penny and a quarter, and Minneapolis is trading unchanged. Cotton futures gave up some ground, with May futures down 40 points to close at 74.21. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading 35 points higher as I record this. Livestock futures had more red ink than black yesterday. For the day, April live cattle were 7.5 cents higher, while April feeder cattle closed 75 cents lower for the session. April lean hogs were lower as well, closing down 82.5 cents for the day. Class 3 milk futures closed higher, with April futures 14 points higher to settle at 15.15. In the overnight trade, they're up an additional point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 89 cents higher at $224.93, while selects were up 58 cents to settle at $218.37. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 47 cents higher for the day, settling at $63.06. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We've got a line open if you want to queue your call. Folks, I'll remind you again, financialissues.org. Go and take a look at the retreat. We would love for you to be there. It is a wonderful time of fellowship. It is a great time of being in God's word and worship. We have such a good time. And we want you to be there. It is a time that we want to share with our Financial Issues family. It ends up being the closest, I don't know, members of our family, for lack of better, you know, because we've built relationships with those so many people over the years, from the retreats. And it is a great time. So I hope that you will consider it and register. But you need to register so that you can get in. So make sure you do that. Make sure you register. Check it out. You don't have to stay there. You can commute. So many of you are in commuting distance there, and you can come every day, but you still need to register. We can't have you show up and expect to get in, because it's not going to work like that at all. So you need to register because of restrictions the hotel's given us. All right. I hope you'll be there. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. The Dow's down considerably right now. It's down over 1%. So right about at its session highs. Actually, it's not. It was a little bit worse than this. Really not a lot of economic data that is driving this. The only economic data that we got that was of any consequence was productivity. The final look at productivity for the first quarter. Final look at productivity was 1.9. That actually beat expectations. That was better than expectations. Productivity, a key component to the economy and everything. So this is happening in face of good economic data, which is what has been happening. It's in face of good economic data. And I hate to say this, folks. It pains me to say it. But when we look at these numbers and what's happening in the markets, it's really hard not to believe or say that mainstream media is winning a little bit of a battle here right now. They have created an enormous amount of negativity. And when you do that for a long, long period of time, it ends up becoming reality. So it's a self-fulfilling kind of prophecy. The interesting part of it is they did the same thing about during the Obama administration, trying to portray all this optimism and positiveness on the economy, that everything was doing so great. And if you remember me during those years saying, this is ridiculous, the underlying of the fundamentals of the economy stink, and there's no rhyme or reason for any of this other than a financial engineering from corporations, because money is so cheap that they're using that money to engineer great earnings reports. And that's all it really didn't work in mainstream media trying to put a really rosy picture on it, because it wasn't. And even now we hear over and over again about the economic data and how good it is. And, it is amazing when I sit and listen to some of the things that they're talking about in a negative way when you know the reality of the numbers. But it doesn't matter. The political agenda is driving this economy. None of it is reality. None of it has happened, but it is driving things right now. And now we are looking at fear coming into the markets, which is one of the worst things because it's so unpredictable. But we have fear. What's the fear of? Fear of socialism. But here's the thing that the masses don't understand. There shouldn't be any fear because it's controllable. You can be fearful if all of the communists and socialists get elected. Okay, now it's time to be fearful because now they could actually make that happen. But right now it's all talk and we control it. We control, the majority of Americans control this. Now, they're pushing again for that 16-year-old vote. There's a brilliant strategy. Let's get 16-year-olds. Do you know that the Democrats totally depended upon ill-informed people? That's all they got. And now they want the vote to be 16? I just can't. I mean, you all know what I could be saying about that. I'm not going to. But it's just insane. I'm nothing against 16-year-olds. Love them. It's great. But voting? Really? So, but that's, you know, they're desperate. They're desperate. They saw the polling on Trump, and the DNC had to be going nuts when they saw it. And, you know, they can't regroup right now. They're into this, lock, stock, and barrel. There's nothing they can do about it. They're socialist. They're far, far left right now. Even the old-time Democrats, they can't. I don't know how they can walk anything back. That's what they're going to be portrayed as. That's where they are. This is a party that can't even vote that anti-Semitic positions will not be accepted in the United States Congress. They can't even vote on that issue. And I think it's another thing that Mitch McConnell ought to be pushing for a vote to get them to vote that this is, that these anti-Semitic comments are fine and acceptable in America. So then let's make sure that anti-racial things are acceptable, that anti-LGBTQXYZ, whatever it is acceptable. Let's make sure that all of that is, you know, perfectly acceptable. Let's make sure that the bashing of Christians is perfectly acceptable. I mean, let's do it across the board. Anyway. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Gary. Gary calling us from Texas. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dan, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for what you do, and God bless you every day.
Thank you, brother.
I have a quick question for you. Wife's wanting to retire at 70 here in the next 90 days. She has three traditional IRAs, and she's wanting to know if she can put the money in those IRAs in CDs to make her some money for retirement, Dan.
Yes. And what she wants to do is get them all in one place. What's that?
We have done that. We've got them in a credit union.
Okay. So I would then ladder out the money. Now, here's the thing. I don't know. I feel pretty confident that we can go out as long as 2 years, because if you can shop around a good 2-year CD rate, you can probably get 2.3% or so, maybe a little more. I don't even know. I should look at that. But you can go out a little bit longer term. Now, she may want to start there with, you know, a bigger pot portion, maybe do another smaller portion at 2.5 years or so, and then do some at 1 year. You're not going to get the same kind of return at 1 year, but do some at 1 year, so that what will happen is you'll start having, after that first year, they'll start coming due on a fairly regular basis, and you can keep renewing to the longer term, the 2.5 years, where you can get a higher rate of return. And if you need some of that money, then you can do it, peel off some of the interest. But I would be okay with that. It preserves the principal. It can never go down. You earn a little bit. You're not going to earn a whole lot, but you should be able to get over, you know, very close to 2.25% on average.
That'd be awesome. She's got about $80,000, so that would be awesome.
That'd be great. Good. Yep. That's what I would do. I think that'll serve her well.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Gary. I sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much. I thank you for listening. God bless you. I wish you all the best. Let me go to Joshua. Joshua calling us from Texas as well. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Good.
The main question that I had is, my family owns a company here in Texas, and we're trying to make sure that our finances stay in the right moral directions. I was actually wondering if you had an idea of where we could get, or if you have an updated list of the main major companies that are supporting Planned Parenthood, so we know where our finances don't need to go.
Yeah, I'll tell you the only thing. I don't have a list other than, because there's so many and they change often.
Right.
But if you are ready to make an investment in a company, you can go to the website, my website, financialissues.org. And if you scroll down a little bit, you don't need to be a partner. If you scroll down a little bit, there is an area that says, you know, screen or your investments, and you can put the symbol in, and it'll tell you if not only that they're not biblically responsible, but it'll tell you as you read on what areas it's in, if it's in abortion or whether it's in something else, but you'll be able to see it. So you'll be able to see that right away, whether it's a mutual fund or a individual stock. And that's the best thing you can do to stay on top of it.
Okay. I know that the website secondvote.com/Planned Parenthood has a list that they updated. Do you know of that website, or
yeah,
if it would be accurate to look at?
Yeah, I don't go. I find that there's, I'm going to have to put you on hold, Joshua. I'm right up against a break, but I don't find that website. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. By the way, we have lines open, 844-707-5533. First time we've had lines open. We've had a full board pretty much the whole program. But two lines open, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do that. Let me go to Paul. No, not Paul. I'm sorry. Paul's next. Danny from Oklahoma. Hey, Danny.
Yes, sir. Dan?
Yes, hello, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Hey, I want to ask you a question about gross national product. It seems like several years ago, they didn't used to include government spending in gross national. And then, of course, politicians wanted that to be in there. Is that, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that happened in July of 2013. And what they did was they added a number of things in GDP, things that have never been in GDP. And no other country includes some of those things. But we did. We started including them. And it was very, very interesting, because they were doing that because they were desperate to try to get GDP growth up. And they thought that was going to be the answer, and it didn't change a lick. So my position on that afterwards was, can you imagine how bad things must be if they added all that in and still are still not getting any growth? So they didn't revert back. That'll probably be like that for 50 years. I don't expect that to ever change back to what it was. That's, you know, once the government does something, you know, they never go back. Yeah, that happened back then, 2013, July. I remember it well because I was so against it and railing against it, but they did it anyway.
Well, don't that misrepresent GDP then? Debt is so high.
Doesn't that what? I'm so,
with our debt so high, just keep spending money that misrepresents GDP, GNP, gross national product.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Danny, but you're breaking up on me. I think you said something about doesn't that impact GDP
yes.
to go higher? Yeah. It should, but it hasn't since they put it into effect. Hasn't changed anything. As a matter of fact, GDP went down for several years after that, so it didn't have a positive impact at all. Didn't, you know, I we can only assume that if you took it out, we probably would have been a negative GDP in some of those years.
Okay, but they're not going to change it anyhow.
No, they're not going to change it. No, they're never going to change it. It's like when they raise taxes temporarily, you know, once they raise them, they never go back. But, yep, we're not going to change it. Yeah, I lost you, Danny. I think you got a bad connection there. All right, let me go to Paul in Texas. Hey, Paul.
Listen, thank you for what you do, and I'm trying to learn a lot. Recently became a partner, and part of my question is, I think part of it, I had another fellow a while ago may ask the same question, but part of the question is, I have an IRA, and I'm kind of wanting to do what I think he said, and that is put it in a CD to draw a little more than it just sitting there in an IRA type of money market. And my question was, if I do that, can I split that IRA up into several CDs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to, you can split it up as much as you want into several CDs. Like I explained to the other fella, you know, you don't want to put it all into one CD. You want to ladder it out. So you have some of it maybe in a 2-year, maybe some of it in go out 2.5 years, some of it in a 1 year, maybe even some of it in an 18-month or a 16-month. But, yeah, you could split that up any way you want, as much as you want.
Okay, one company then.
Well, one if you're doing CDs, you're in one bank, but you can change it up and do as many. You could have it in several banks, but you would have to have an account at a brokerage that offers CDs, and those CDs would be anywhere. In his case, he was talking about a credit union that he had all his money. So in that credit union, you could have as many CDs in that credit union as you want at different ranges. You could break it up into different banks. So, but to do that, you'd have to have separate IRA accounts. So you could open an IRA account at Bank A, one at Bank B, and one at Bank C, and then you could move some money from your IRA to each one of those banks if you wanted to separate it up that way. But now you have three IRA accounts, but yes, you could do that as well.
Okay. The other question I had is, I was looking at your asset allocation for retired over 65, and I was thinking about using some IRA money and putting it in income stocks, which I'm sure would make more money than a CD or money market. But my question was, using those that asset allocation, with the stock market being kind of like it is right now, if I put money in there and the stock market takes a 6 months downturn, how does that affect, I know it affects the stock, but you're not really looking at that, but how does that affect the income off of those stocks?
It's not going to affect the income. Now, the only way it could affect the income is if the company decided not to pay an income anymore. So the board could say, hey, we're cutting our dividend, or we're not going to pay any dividend at all. That's always a possibility. Generally, in a falling market, they wouldn't do that because they don't want people to sell. They know they have a lot of stockholders that are in there for dividends. If they cut the dividends, then people are going to sell, and they're going to make a bad situation for their stock even worse because they're now creating a selling environment. So they generally don't do that if they're good, solid companies. But so the theory is that your income's not likely to change. Your value may change temporarily until it goes back up again, but your income is going to stay the same.
Okay. One other short question then. On that, with that asset allocation, I'm new. I just became a partner about a month ago, so I don't know much about it. But with that asset allocation, if there is within that, the stocks that you have on there, that's something that you are monitoring and helping us with through our partnership?
Yeah, so the asset allocation model indicates that you should have 10%, I'm making up numbers, 10% in a particular sector, and then you're not putting anything in that sector, any monies, unless that sector or stocks are on my buy list. So okay, you're checking the sector against the sectors on the buy list to see if there's anything listed, and then you would start allocating your money gradually to those sectors. So that's what you're watching for. If you're an income investor, you're looking mostly in a retirement situation. You're looking mostly at mid-cap and large-cap, LCMC. You don't want to have a lot of money. I've tried to discourage retirees from putting money in small caps. They're marked with an SC. Cap means capitalization. It's how big the company is or the value of the company. So a large cap company might be valued at $10 billion, well, more like $20 billion, $25 billion. A small cap or a micro cap might be valued at $700 million, you know, considerable difference. So you're looking for those larger companies because the larger companies tend to be more stable. They don't go down as much in the bad times. Yes, they don't go up as much in the good times, but they tend to be a little bit more stable, and that's what I'd like to see our retirees doing.
Okay. Well, thank you for your information and what you're doing. I appreciate it. I'm still, like I said, I'm still learning how to – I haven't actually
yep.
located your buy list right yet, but I'm still trying to navigate that site.
Yeah, when you go to buy list, you go to the middle section. When you go to the partner page, you go to the middle section, and you'll see commentary and buy list right at the top. Commentary and buy list. If you click on that, you've got to scroll through all the commentary, and you'll see stocks that I've added on the buy list this week, or some that I've taken off this week. But the big long buy list is at the bottom. Keeps going down, keep scrolling down, and you'll see the buy list, and it's broken down by sectors.
Okay, well, I'll sure do that. And I, like I said, I appreciate what you do, and God bless you.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for your partnership. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. Cue your call. We'll be right back. We're coming to you live from Oklahoma City. So remember, there's a little bit of delay when you call in. So just bear with the silence. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. I want to remind you, we're in Oklahoma City, coming to you live. Remember, there's a little silence when we take your call. Bear with that. Also, if you live anywhere near Edmond, Oklahoma, I hope that you will be at Fairview Baptist Church tonight. I want to see as many of you as you possibly can. If you're within driving distance of Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church, come on out. I'll be there early. We start at 6:30 promptly. I'll be there early. I'm going to try to shake as many hands as we possibly can. I hope I get to everybody. Don't always, but I sure try. So hopefully we'll do that. And I know we'll see some old friends there, I would suspect. So come on. I haven't been to Oklahoma in probably 4 years, maybe five, since I did a town hall meeting here. So I'm really excited to be here and hope that you'll come out. Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church tonight. So come on out. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me go to Janice. Janice calling us. Is it Janice? Yeah, Janice from Alabama. Hey, Janice.
Hey. Yes. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Okay. I called you the other day, and you gave me some advice, but I'm going to be 70 this year, and I'm trying to do what you're teaching us, but I have what I'm mostly concerned about is I have a traditional IRA that I'm really trying to figure out what kind of asset allocation model that I need to use. I have a good retirement, and I have savings and cash outside of that, so I'm thinking that mostly I hope that it will be for my family. It's not a Roth, and I don't work anymore, so I can't put it in a Roth. So I'm concerned about what I should be doing to grow it or just preserve it. Or anyway, every time they ask me any questions, it's like I have such mixed emotions because I don't want to lose it, but on the other hand, I want to grow it. So I just thought, I was hoping you could give me some advice.
So I would say this to you. You need, since you're not going to be using the money, either to supplement your income or for anything else, obviously it's a traditional. So you have to take that minimum required distribution every year. So that money's got to come out. And you want to move that money over into a savings or an investment account somewhere else. But you need to be a little bit in the market because, you could be here for another 30 years and you want to make sure that you are going to grow the account. You don't want it just to sit there. And look, chances are that if you get a good strategy with about 60% of it invested in some really good positions and you just forget about it. Is there going to be some times where it's going to be down? Absolutely. There's going to be times it's going to be down. Are there going to be times you're going to be scared because of what everybody's telling you and what's going on in the market? Yes, there are going to be those times. But if you look back at all of those other times when you were scared or you thought about getting out or everybody was getting out, they wish they hadn't. And so you need to have at least 50% at least, but at least 60% would be better, invested in some things. The other 40% you can have in CDs in the same account, but you can have it in CDs. And that's, you know, preserving that 40%, but you got to have some growth. You can't have any growth other than CD growth without risk. It's impossible. We all wish that existed, but it doesn't. And but there really, if you have a long-term outlook on it, then the risk becomes very minimal in the sense that, I don't want to say there isn't any risk, of course there is, but in the long run, you're going to be fine and you'll do well. You just have to believe it well enough to stay put once you make those investments.
Right. Okay. So which is there a certain asset allocation model you think I should follow?
Well, I would stick to the 65 to retirement. I'd be okay with that. But just look at that retirement model. The only thing I would change, because you've never really been in the market, you have some risk adverse, you're a little concerned, I would just have a bigger cash position than what's required there. But I think at least you want to have the stocks that are in the yellow, that I've highlighted in yellow in those sectors, they're good companies to be in for the very long term. And they're the things you ought to be looking at now to start to get into. And I think industrials, materials, maybe even technology stocks, maybe a healthcare stock. But that's what you want to look at and try to have more than one stock in each sector. And just do it slowly. Pick a couple of the ones that are in yellow, wait for a couple others to show up on the buy list in yellow. Maybe it takes you a year before or longer before you get that 60% invested, but I really think that's what you should shoot for.
Okay. Are you saying that I should do CDs or do some of the others?
No, I think you should do CDs for 40%. You know, 40 or 50% in CDs.
And not do the mutual funds and.
No, I wouldn't do any mutual funds. I would just, unless you're doing Timothy, I want you to be biblically responsible. But no, I would rather see you just do CDs.
Okay. So, and what is that like 2% right now? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. 2%. Yeah. Yeah. That's all. That's yeah. Two and a quarter, 2.5. That's all you can get on. That's all you can hope to get right now. Don't go any longer than 2 years on the CDs.
Okay. Well, I'm also trying to determine what's it going to look like when they my children receive an inherited traditional IRA. I know they'll have to pay taxes and they'll have, I'm not sure what you meant a while ago when you said put some of that money in a savings investment account for the RMDs. I got sidetracked there.
Well, so you have to take a distribution, right? You have to take money out. So when you take that money out, whatever they tell you you have to take out, move that over into savings for your children to get. So they're not getting it out of the IRA account. They're going to end up, I don't know how much you have in the IRA account, but chances are they're going to end up with some of that money. And it's not going to be a great situation for them because they still have to take the minimum required distribution, even though they may not be 70.5. They still got to take it whether they want it or not. So they don't really have the opportunity to save it, and they got to pay the tax on what they take.
So when they inherit it, what would you think if you inherited one? Would you just let it sit there and just take out the RMD?
You don't have any. Well, your only choice is to let it sit there. No, no. It's. I always encourage people not to do that, but that's where everybody has their money, unfortunately. But no, it's they have to take it. They can either take the RMD and pay the tax, or they can close it out, take it all, and pay the tax on all of it. So that's they only have those options.
Well, it's a significant amount, and it's just sitting there in cash. So I'm like, this is killing me, trying to figure out what to do. So,
yeah, anyway, well, I would do it gradually. Invest 60% of it, and I would withdraw as much money every year as you can pay tax on, and move it into a different account so that your children will have flex. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Whatever you can pay tax on, whatever you feel comfortable with, I would take it out, move it over into either an investment account or other CDs or something like that. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So one of
you should definitely do that.
You said that you would invest in technology. I don't think that's in there. I've been studying that retired asset allocation model, and technology is not in there.
No.
That math?
Yeah, technology isn't in there. I took that out. So don't just stick with the model. Stick with the model. Yep.
Okay. And that includes the real estate and all that. I mean.
Yes. That, yep. Okay. Yep.
Okay. All yep. right. I'll see if I can't do that. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your.
All right, Janice. All right. Okay. Thank you.
You have a good day.
844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We've got another hour left, folks. We've got lines open. If you want to queue your call up, we'll continue here taking your phone calls. We got third hour coming up. So stay with us as we've got lines open, 844-707-5533. You're listening to Financial Issues. Look, if you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is His. It's all the Lord's. Let's really work. Let's be convicted to honor God with the money that He has entrusted to us to be a good steward of. And let's hope that we can stand before Him someday and be found good and faithful stewards of all that He's given us. Remember, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma, tonight, 6:30. I hope I see you there. If not, have a wonderful day. God bless. More Financial Issues right after this.
That we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.